Our second scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 12, 12 through 19. This is a triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took the palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it was written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Why, after Jesus was glorified, did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him? Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out and met him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him.
Thank you, Ross. How many of you have ever tried to chase a leaf when it's windy out? Pretty hard to grab them, isn't it? Till maybe it lands on the ground and maybe you get your foot on it before it blows someplace else. But you know, the thing about leaves blowing in the wind is you never know what direction they're going, do they? They can go this way and that way and up and down and across and all over the place. It's hard to grab a leaf blowing in the wind. And you know, I was thinking about this morning and how people can be so easily swayed by the blowing of the wind and what goes on in the world today. And in light of that, I wanted to look at our whole occasion for which we come this morning as we celebrate Palm Sunday and take a look at that and take a look at the crowds that had gathered and the disciples who were there and the Pharisees who were there and all those who were gathered around and look at that in light of blowing in the wind. Public opinion is so easily swayed. You know, what about the fair weather sports fans? You know, when I was in Norway, Michigan, up in the UP, and there was a little, I think it was 2 or 3 year stint when Steve Mariucci was the coach of the Lions. You remember that? Now, he was a native of that area, a native of the town of Iron Mountain, just like Tom Izzo is. They're best friends. Well, before that happened, that area was probably 80% Green Bay Packer fans and about 20% Lions fans. I happen to be one of the few that lived up there. When Steve Mariucci became the coach of the Lions, it almost immediately went to probably 50-50. When Steve Mariucci left the Lions, it went back to 80-20. Fair weather sports fans, depends on how the wind's blowing, depends on what's going on, whether you're going to be a fan or not. You know, you see the same thing sometimes in politics, don't you? It's interesting to me, and I don't know that it's necessarily a very Christ-like thing for us to behave this way, but sometimes we notice in politics that someone is wanting to get into politics and we'll go back 30 years or something to find something that they did 30 years ago. In the Church of Jesus Christ, I kind of wonder sometimes if forgiveness of one's past doings is something we ought to be a little bit more about than making that something hold. No matter who it is, no matter what side of the aisle someone may be on, the Church sometimes does the same thing. And we ought to be more like Jesus, shouldn't we? In so many ways, I think we ought to be more like Jesus. Political swing, back and forth, depending on what someone drags up. You know, a charismatic, dynamic leader can sway an army to do whatever they want them to do. So many times, crisis changes everything, doesn't it? I wanted to look at this again, and it's good for us to look at this again, because I think we see in Palm Sunday, we see again human nature. At its best or at its worst, however you want to look at it, we see human nature. One day these crowds are following Jesus as the disciples had come in a little ahead of Jesus, and this whole day had been prepared. This triumphal entry was taking place, and people everywhere were doing what? Singing the praises of a king that's come into town. These were the words that were shared in that gospel message this morning. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Yeah, probably started by the disciples and those nearest Jesus, but the crowds kind of bought in, didn't they? In a way, what an amazing thing for Jesus to experience kingship like it should have been experienced, at least for a moment, as he's coming into town. You see, this guy that had come into town, the word had gotten out that it wasn't but just very recently before this. In fact, in the gospel in chapter 11, we read about the fact that he had risen Lazarus from the dead. That word got out, didn't it? People had gotten word that Jesus had been doing some amazing and marvelous things. And this one who had come, this one that was coming into town, had raised Lazarus from the dead. That certainly would gain a following, wouldn't it? This one coming into town, many had seen him on other occasions healing the deaf and the dumb and the blind and the sick. That certainly would gain a following, wouldn't it? Certainly think so. This was one who was challenging the status quo, and that too at times would gain a following. But you know, as that all was happening and as Jesus was coming into town, it wasn't going to take very long for things just to fall apart in less than a week. Everything looked like it was going so well. And of course, you and I always like to be following when things are going so well. But as soon as the tide turns and things don't go so well, many peel off, don't they? It wasn't long. The crowds were starting to peel off. The excitement of that day when he came into town was starting to subside. Fear would quickly turn the tide. The Pharisees had been noticing what was going on. They were the only ones during this whole time that probably, they really stuck to their guns, weren't they? They stuck to their guns from the get-go. Jesus came into town. They suspected him anyway because he was turning their religion upside down anyway and challenging them at every corner because of they're trying to get him in some kind of a fix, and the wisdom of Jesus was just more than they could handle. But they had conjured up in the crowds a different kind of scenario when, towards the latter part of their week, you know what happened. We're going to be talking about that this week, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and then, of course, Easter. The tables turned. You see, the crowds were identifying with the victorious Jesus when he came into town on that triumphal entry day on Palm Sunday. But now, all of a sudden, just a few days later, those who would follow him would have to identify with suffering instead. That's not something you and I would like to choose, is it? Instead of that triumphal entry, people were going to have to identify with suffering. The crowds would start to turn. You see, if there is no immediate benefit that was seen or realized, the crowds are going to leave, aren't they? The crowds come and go like the blowing in the wind of the leaf. It's just all over the place. You never know which way it's going to go, wherever the wind takes it. The disciples on Palm Sunday seemed bold and ready. On Good Friday, they were running scared. They could see investment returns realized in that triumphal entry. Hey, I wonder which one of us is going to be leading with Jesus when he takes over. You know, who's going to be his second-hand man? Who's going to be the one who's right next to Jesus? Those discussions have already been made and had. It all changed just a few days later. You see, the crowds will always follow when the cost is low. But as soon as the cost becomes great, the crowds scatter. and the cost became so great, so long, that the cost became so heavy that even the disciples themselves started to scatter. They at first thought they would rule with Christ, but how could you rule with Christ when he's hanging on a cross? And then he's dead, lying in a tomb. You see, I think what the disciples were discovering in the latter part of this week, and then on into the first of the next week, and into the early church's life, was having an identity with Jesus Christ can also be dangerous. Identifying with Jesus Christ can sometimes be a little bit dangerous when we're taking a stand against the blowings of the wind that are going elsewhere. It can be a little bit dangerous. They were scared, as probably you and I would be scared too if we were in the crowds and we were gathered around. Maybe even we were one of his disciples and we didn't know. See, you and I look at this picture from the other side and we know what happened. I mean, it's like Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story thing. You and I know what happens here, don't we? Because we've heard the story over and over again every year and many times during the year. We've heard the story. But if you and I were really there, would we have reacted the same way? In fact, sometimes don't we even react the same way today? One day I'm a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, but because of whatever life circumstances are right now in my life, I've kind of set them aside. I'm not sure I want to follow because the cost is getting a little bit too much. You see, with the disciples, selective hearing created their doubt, didn't it? There was more than one occasion before the triumphal entry when Jesus had told the disciples, you know what, it's going to get tough. And in fact, he clearly said to them on other occasions in the gospel, you know what's going to happen, guys? I'm going to have to die. But I'm going to raise again. He said that to them, clearly said that to them, but they didn't really hear it because they, like you and I, have selective hearing. We hear what we want to hear. Ask your spouse. Sorry. Get that wax out of my ear, huh? Yeah. It's even worse with Jesus, though. So many times you and I have selective hearing. His impending death was told. Remember that anointing for his death just 5 verses before what we read this morning. It happened. In fact, let me read for you just a couple verses just before this triumphal entry thing happened and just after Jesus had raised from the dead, or just after Jesus had entered into the, raised Lazarus from the dead and then was entering into Jerusalem. It says right here, when Jesus was anointed at Bethany, one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected to this lady who had been anointing his body and his feet. He said, couldn't that money from that expensive perfume be sold and given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He didn't say it because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, keeper of the money bag he used to help himself to what was put into that bag. But Jesus said to him and to all those who were gathered there, leave her alone. It was meant that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Even in that statement, he was indicating to them, it's going to happen. I'm trying to prepare you. You know, the only consistent players in this whole ordeal over that week-long event that took place, starting in the triumphal entry and then ending with Good Friday, his death, and then ultimately his resurrection before the disciples saw him, the only consistent players in this whole thing were the Pharisees. You see, they thought the status quo needed to be protected at all costs. The way it was the way they wanted it to be. That's what they were comfortable with. Sometimes you and I are all about the status quo. We want to protect the way it is. whatever it is that's going on in my life, I want to protect the way it is. We don't want anything to change, because right now I know what is, and that's what I'm comfortable with. That was the Pharisees. They were comfortable with the status quo. And yet sometimes Jesus is calling us to go someplace else. Sometimes God is calling us to do something else. Sometimes God is calling us to trust Him when it's really hard to trust Him because of what's happened in my life and I don't know how to trust Him. Maybe it's a loss of a family member or a scare concerning your health. Maybe it's the loss of a job. Maybe it's a child that has gone astray. We could just number these things all over the place in this room, and all those things change the status quo. But Jesus is still there. The same Jesus that came into Jerusalem on a donkey, and everybody was screaming and hollering and giving glory to God for this one who'd come in, who'd done some pretty amazing things. It's the same Jesus that was there also on Thursday and then Friday. It was the same Jesus that when Judas betrayed him and the disciples went scattering, when the Romans went to get Jesus, it's the same Jesus who was there on the cross when almost everybody had left him way off at a distance. It's the same Jesus who died and then was buried and the disciples were in hiding. It's the same Jesus. It's the same Jesus that rose from the dead. It's the same Jesus that said, "Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing," on the cross. It's the same one. And he's saying to those crowds and those disciples and to us, just follow me. Whether it's on those triumphal entry days, and we have some of those, or it's on those Good Friday days when some kind of a death has occurred in our life. And I don't mean necessarily a literal death, but the status quo changed. Crisis came. It's different than it used to be. We can run like a lot of the crowds did because it gets tough, or we can say, you know what, this one who came, this one who healed, this one who did marvelous things, this one who rose people from the dead, he can take care of all of that, and he can do so much more, because the one thing the disciples eventually began to understand afterwards was he also could take care of all of those stinking flaws that you and I have. It's called sin, S-I-N. And that was taken care of too. And he says, just come, follow me. Wherever it takes you, some people have a path that's fairly easy. And some people have a path we'd never wish upon anybody. But Jesus is there on every path. And he says, just come, follow me. Folks, don't let the status quo keep you from doing what Jesus wants you to do. Don't let the sameness and the comfortableness of your life the way it is cause you to say, I'm not going there. Because I'll tell you what, whether it's tough times or not, there's no place I would rather be than following Jesus. No matter what it means, no matter what it takes. Don't let your decisions be like the leaf blowing in the wind, going wherever the wind blows, but follow Jesus. From Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Easter Sunday. Because He cares for you more than anyone has ever cared for you. And He's with you in the good times and the bad. Don't let crisis take you away from Him. Let crisis draw you to Him. Let's pray. God, we thank You. You are so patient with us. We're so stubborn at times. We wander away from you many times in our life. And like many people on this earth, they would wander away and say, I want nothing more to do with you. But that's not you. You love us anyway. You don't walk away from us. We walk away from you. God, help us to follow you, no matter where it may lead. Not just when the cost is low, but sometimes even when the cost is high. Help us to follow you. Because it's great to know that we are in your care, in your loving arms. And we are grateful for the price you paid to take care of something we couldn't take care of. For it's in Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen.